Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're so thankful for your many blessings. Lord, I'm thankful for all those that are here tonight. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would minister to each and every one of us tonight. Help us all to grow. Lord, we lift up Miss Margie to you right now. I pray for health and strength. I pray that her blood pressure would come down, that you would begin to heal her right now. Lord, for all the others that are sick tonight, we pray your healing hand upon them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So tonight, we're going to start probably like a four-week series. And tonight, the title is going to be Fighting Fair. Okay, if in every relationship, you're going to have fights. There's going to be times of struggle. There's going to be times... one of my coworkers, we were talking about this last week that we're around each other so much that you get mad at each other sometimes, but you got to get over things. And in a marriage, it's no different. But what I see oftentimes, or not often, but sometimes in marriages is people don't know the proper way to fight. I've shared with y'all before a good friend of mine that has passed away now, but he and his wife, his first marriage, I believe it was his only marriage, he ended up, he was young, early 20s, and him and his wife got in a fight. He said it was just a normal fight. He just thought, well, she's leaving to cool off. Next thing he knew, his bank account was emptied out and she was moving out her stuff and asked for a divorce. And he was like, it wasn't even a bad fight. And some people believe that if you fight, that it's over. Okay. But in any marriage, if you've been married very long, in other relationships, you're going to have times of fighting. You're going to have times of not liking each other very much. And so it's learning how to get through that in a godly way. It's learning how to get through that and grow closer instead of being pulled apart. We're going to start in Titus chapter 3. And if you want to open up your Bibles to there, I'm going to just read three verses here. And Titus 3 verse 1 says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." And so what I want to talk to you about there is learning to get past that, what we used to be, living in malice and envy and hatred, hating one another. You guys might say, well, hate in marriage, can you really hate someone in marriage? Hate's a strong word, but when people allow fights to fester and fester and fester, then it can become hate. But here in verse 1 and 2, it says to be peaceable and considerate and to show true humility towards all men. So to really live in a state of mind of being considerate and peaceable with others around you, to really have that true thought in your mind and your heart. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." You hear that? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, sometimes the people that I love the most make me the angriest and the quickest. You guys agree with that? You know, sometimes you come in from work and it's like just a little something will set you off. Maybe you guys are better than me. But my kids one time were talking to me about it and I didn't think I was that bad, but they're like, "Dad, you get mad so quick." And it's like, well, no, you really don't know how much I'm suppressing. It's just at one point it finally comes out, you know. But in reality, if we're living by the Word of God, we should be slow to speak, slow to become angry. and quick to listen. And in this, so fighting fair, there's a healthy and there's an unhealthy way of fighting, okay? The unhealthy is hostility aimed at your partner. And what I mean by that is by saying things that are hurtful and that's going to get a dig in at them. You know, it might be something like, you never do anything right. Why did I even marry you in the first place? You act just like your mother. What are you doing there? You're saying things to try and press their buttons. You're saying things to intentionally hurt them. Is there ever anything good that comes out of trying to intentionally hurt someone? But yet, sometimes when you're mad, sometimes when you're in the moment, you know what to say to your spouse that's really going to get them. You know what to, you're just a big baby and or whatever, and you target that. That's not productive. That's not healthy. To be more healthy and to fight in a fair way, in a good way, you need to focus more upon the problem. Some examples of that is, it upsets me when you don't tell me you're going to be late for dinner. Not, you idiot, why didn't you let me know? And but you see the difference there? You know what? It upsets me when you don't let me know you're going to be late. There's a difference. There's a different tones there. Or, I was embarrassed when you made me look foolish at the party last night. You know, we will do that sometimes, and I've seen it happen a lot where you're in a group setting, maybe with friends, maybe in a party, and one partner will begin to pick on the other partner to get a laugh. Have you guys ever seen that happen? And you'll begin to talk about, well, my husband does this or my wife does this, and then everybody will start laughing. And then you get a laugh, and what do? You keep going and you keep going. But we don't realize how that can really be separating us from the people that we love and how it can really be pushing them further and further and further away. And so when we're fighting and when someone has hurt us, to not attack them, but attack more the issue of what's going on and how they're hurting us. What did Jesus say about yielding to others when he was unfairly attacked or criticized? If we go back to Matthew 5:38. Matthew 5:38 through 41, it says, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So you think about that. I am in no way saying if you're in an abusive relationship to stay. That's not what I'm saying. You have to pray about that. You have to ask God what to do, how to handle that. Because it's not okay if someone's beating you, okay? And so I don't want you to misunderstand that. It's not okay for that to be taking place. But how often in a fight, if someone's making fun of you, someone's doing something, we just want to get them back. And we're going to, you know, okay, my husband, my wife made fun of me at the party in front of everybody, so I'm going to reveal something about them to get a laugh. And then, well, I'm going to tell something else, and then something else, and we can go back and forth to where we're really building resentment. In Luke 6:27 says, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies and do good to them who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. So that last part there, do to others as you would have them do unto you. So I want you to think about that in your marriage, in your family. If you're not getting what you need, if you're not getting what you need out of your marriage, are you giving that to others? Are you giving that to your spouse? I think I've told you guys a story before, and I don't know if it's true or not. It was told as a true story, but about the woman that wanted to divorce her husband and went to the attorney and said, I want to hurt him so bad. I want to pay him back. And the attorney said, I tell you what you do. You go home and you make his favorite meal. And you go home and make yourself available to him. And you show him so much love and so much kindness for the next 4 weeks. And then you spring it on him, I'm leaving you and taking everything you have, and then come back and see me. And so the woman does this, and the lawyer's waiting and waiting and waiting. And the woman never comes back. And he runs into her in the grocery store a few months later, and he says, hey, what's going on? I thought we were ready to file for divorce. I thought, are you crazy? My husband is wonderful. He said, what? She said, well, I went home and did everything you said. And she said, our marriage has never been stronger. You reap what you sow. You guys, sometimes in our relationships where we're angry about something, we're mad about something all the time, where our partner might not be giving us what we need. Maybe it's because we're not giving them what they need. And maybe if we would begin to examine ourselves and realize that we haven't been the best husband, that we haven't been the best wife, that things would begin to change. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Y'all, this is true for marriage. It's true for the workplace. It's true with friendship. It's true in every area of our life, that if we would begin to quit worrying so much about our needs, our desires, our wants, and begin to look at what we can do to meet others' needs, and especially in the marriage, how can I help? I'll tell you, I'm not the greatest husband. I have my faults. And in the summertime, when Crystal's not working, I do very little. I'm not going to lie. I do very little at the house. She cooks, she cleans, the kids help. I don't hardly do anything. I'll mow. And if I can get out of that, Hayden's gotten to where he does a lot of my mowing for me. But I work, okay? And this is just our marriage, this is just us, okay? But when Crystal's working during the school year, and I come in and she's got dinner ready, after I eat dinner, most nights, I'll do the dishes. Why? Because she worked all day just like me, and it's not fair for her to have to cook and clean and do all that. Now that's just our marriage. I ain't telling y'all to do this or don't do that. But sometimes we get so caught up in the man's job and the woman's job, and they should be doing this, and this should be happening, or that should be happening. And if we're not careful, resentment and division can build. Because what could Crystal do? She could go, well, I've worked all day, then I've come in and cooked, then I've cleaned the house and I've done the dishes, and then Pete's just sat over there in the recliner doing nothing, and I'm not saying that she does that, but that's how things begin to build. And if we love someone and we care about someone, then we should do unto others as we would have done unto us. And so I should say, Crystal's meeting a need by cooking for me. How can I meet a need for her? By doing the dishes, by cleaning the house, by doing something, y'all. And that's the way marriages should work, the give and take of helping each other and doing for each other. Also in all this, we need to make sure we're showing respect, okay? 1 Peter 2:17 says, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the King. See, we shouldn't treat each other like a doormat and making a big scene over little issues. And I've been with people And I just cringe on the inside when I see how they talk to each other in front of people. I'm more of a private person, okay? And if Crystal and I are going to fight, I definitely don't want to do it in front of anybody. She can give me a look, or I can give her a look, and uh-oh, we know when we get home there's going to be a conflict, there's going to be an issue. But I'm going to tell you something. If we begin to fight in front of others, most of the time I'm getting up and leaving because it's embarrassing. And it's disrespectful to my wife, and it's disrespectful to me. People don't want to hear our argument. They don't want to see that. Now, you got to be careful, because sometimes you can be playful, getting your jabs at one another, and everybody's laughing, but how quickly that can turn into disrespect and into a big scene. We need to learn to respect one another, and to the point that we're not going to run them down or make fun of them in front of others. A friend of mine that I love very much, I noticed every time we were together, he would run down his wife, and she would laugh and everything, and it was all kind of a big joke. But I began to notice something, that she wasn't laughing anymore. And this went on for months and months and months, and everybody was laughing, but she wasn't laughing anymore. And one of the hardest things I ever did was I felt like the Lord said, you need to sit down and have a man-to-man talk with him about the way he's treating his wife. Y'all, that's not an easy thing to do. Because you get inside of a marriage and a relationship, and it can be hard. But thank God, it was the Holy Spirit leading me. And I sat and I talked to this man probably over an hour. But I approached him out of love, and I approached him out of, I see division forming in your marriage, and you need to be careful, because you're going down a road that if you're not careful is going to lead to divorce. He hadn't thought about it the way that I was seeing it. And sometimes from outside, we can see it differently. Sometimes, you know, you can see things in someone's marriage. You can see things in someone's relationship that they don't see themselves. But we really, really need to learn to respect one another. Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. There it is. Okay, so I want to talk to you guys about this in a marriage relationship. When there's a conflict, just go between the two of you and talk about it. Let's not blow up in front of the mother and father-in-law. Let's not blow up in front of the family. It was funny because anytime me and Crystal would fight, anytime Amy and Kyle would fight, her mom mainly, her dad doesn't say nothing, but her mom mainly would always take our side. Amy, you need to quit this, or Crystal, you need to quit that, you know, but I learned that we don't need to be fighting in front of mother and father-in-law. We don't need to be fighting in front of mom and dad. That if there's really an issue, it needs to just be between the two of us. Showing respect. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. In your fights, is there a time of healing? Or are you storing up fuel for your rematch later on? Okay? And what I mean by that is, have any of y'all ever went to bed mad? No, you guys are too spiritual for that, huh? I tell you, I went to bed so mad that I'm surprised I didn't land in the floor, because I'm on the edge of the bed. Don't even touch me, you know? And reality is, she's on the other end of the bed that far away, so we got this huge bed in between us that nobody's laying on. It's like, I don't even want to be touched. Just don't talk to me. Like I said, I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect husband. But in reality, that should not be how you go to bed. You shouldn't let the sun go down on your anger, on your wrath. And oftentimes, in marriages, it seems like that, especially when your kids are little and stuff, when's your time to fight? After the kids have been put down to bed and you're about to go to bed yourself, and then, well, you did this and you did that, because that's the moment that you got a little peace and quiet, that the kids aren't tugging and pulling at you. You got a little moment there, and that's usually the times when you'll fight it out. And that's not healthy. That's not good. I've went to bed mad before and then had bad dreams. I've went to bed mad before and then I wake up the next day and I'm still mad. And then it ruins a whole nother day. And that's not what the Word of God says. And oftentimes at our fights, we don't allow healing to take place, and we're just storing up fuel, and we're storing up, it's more gasoline and more gasoline for the next fight, for the next fight. And then there's a prolonged period of silence and distance between you and your spouse. And can I tell y'all something? When there's that distance, when there's that silence between you and your spouse, you think it's just between you two, but Satan is coming in. And Satan is trying to destroy, because the day that you go to work mad at your wife, the day you go to work mad at your husband, you watch and there'll be some good-looking guy, there'll be some good-looking girl, there'll be a coworker that's going to smile at you. There's going to be saying, oh, is something up? You just seem down today. You just seem sad today. And what's that? What is that? That's Satan coming in, trying to show you, well, this person, they look at how nice this person treats me. Look at this person, they smiled at me. Satan is looking for any way that he can come into our marriage and destroy us. Because what does marriage represent? It's, what are we called? The bride of Christ, right? And so marriage is the closest relationship to represent our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And if Satan can destroy it, if Satan can destroy homes and families, it affects generations. How many of y'all have family or parents that are divorced? Look at that. It's probably over half the church that's had parents that are divorced. And what happens? Birthday parties, Christmas, it's either awkward, it's uncomfortable, or you got 50 Christmases to go to, and you got this parent to see and that parent to see. And, you know, my mom and dad, they don't necessarily hate each other. They can be in the same room with each other. But still, it's just, there's just something there. It's just, and it's generations, because not only has it affected me, but it's affected my kids. And hopefully, and I mean this in a good way, it'll even affect my grandkids, because hopefully my parents will be around long enough for even my grandkids, their great-grandkids. But there's that seed that's there. Satan wants to destroy us. And by us holding on to anger and just adding fuel to the fire, have you guys ever been in a fight and you remember, well, you know, 6 weeks ago you did this, and you bring it up? Or, you know, last year at this time you did that. Or you didn't do this, and you remember and you hold on to all these things. Resentment and hurt feelings accumulating over time turns to poison in our soul, which erodes the relationship from within. You guys holding on to that resentment, you guys holding on to that anger, it's eroding you on the inside. It's poison in your soul. That all at once, that these things that you loved about this person, now all you can think about is, he does this, or he does, or she does that, or she's not taking care of this, and it's poison filling us. Healthy confrontation, though, it allows us to ventilate what's bothering us, and in the end it leads to forgiveness and drawing together and better understanding each other. How do you fight? Do you do it with, you're so dumb, you're just like this, you're never going to be that, or is it, you know, you really hurt me? Because I can tell you, I've gotten better, but any time I've ever been attacked, why'd you do this? What's my first reaction? It's to defend myself. and it's to fight back. But if it's brought to me from a place of, you know, you really hurt me, you know, you really hurt my feelings, then all at once I'm listening because it's like, ugh, I didn't mean to do that. It's different the way that we come at each other, either with accusing words and anger. Someone's coming at me with anger, then oftentimes I'm coming right back with anger. But someone coming at me with hurt, then all at once my mind begins to think, oh, I really didn't mean to hurt them. Y'all, that's in every relationship, friends and stuff. If I've hurt people's feelings before and I feel terrible, I don't want to hurt people. But someone comes at me like, do do this, and I want to come back at them. It's the way that most of us are wired. It's the way most of us are made. But if we come at each other through a healthy confrontation of looking at the issue and trying to get it resolved, then we can end our fights with a hug and a kiss instead of a door slamming and a stomping out. I mean, there was a guy I know, and you guys would know him if I said his name, but I thought it was kind of funny, as he said every time him and his wife would fight, he had a real long driveway. He would get in his car and drive up and down his driveway, and I think he even said sometimes he would drive it for like an hour or more. Just up and down his driveway, up and down his driveway, because he just wanted to get away from it for a minute to calm down. And sometimes that is a good thing, to get away, to calm down and examine yourself and how you're reacting to something. When you're done with a fight, do you ever stop and say, is the issue really resolved? Because sometimes we'll quit fighting just because we know we shouldn't be fighting, but the issue's not really resolved. Crystal's still mad at me, or I'm still mad at her. We just don't want to fight. We're just done fighting. But I'm still mad. But I cover it. That's not healthy. That's not good. When you're fighting and you get done, do you ever stop and say, did I say something I shouldn't have said? These are things that will be helpful in a fight. And when you're done, is the issue resolved? Have I said things that I shouldn't have said? And if I have, one of our lessons in marriage is going to be about the words we speak. So I'm not going to concentrate on that too much tonight. But we really need to keep a tight rein on our tongue and not say, because sometimes you say stuff and you can't take it back and it's hurt. And you can be as sorry can be, and your spouse can know you're as sorry can be, but you still said it. So we need to be careful about the words we say. Have I refused to let go of an issue even though I said it settled? And that seems to be something I feel like me and my wife are past. But when we were younger, we weren't. You know, we'd get in a fight and I'd bring up something or she would bring up something. Well, if it's settled, then it's settled. And it shouldn't be being brought back up and brought back up and brought back up. If you're continually bringing something up, then you've not forgiven the person. And it's not settled. And that's where you need to pray and ask for forgiveness. Jesus' motives were pure and perfect. He spoke from a heart of love even when correcting. Consider your motives when conflict comes. And what I'm saying there is, what are your motives? Are your motives that you want to be right and you're out to prove that you're right no matter what? What's coming from your heart? What is your motives? Or is your motives out of love and that you're hurting me and I don't want this to happen anymore? Or is it, I'm going to tell you and this is the way it is because I'm right and you're wrong? See, are we trying to prove that we're right? Or are we trying to be loving and even enlighten someone about a situation? Could we be reacting to another problem, maybe at work or someone else that we're upset with, and taking it out on our partner? See, sometimes that happens, though, and you've had a bad day at work, and you're really not mad at your wife, you're really not mad at your kids, you're really not mad at your husband, but you vent on them, and they get your wrath. Why? They hadn't even done anything, but you're mad about another issue, you're mad about something else, and all at once you're taking that out on them. I'm trying to prove that you're right, y'all. I've seen that often, and I don't know, but I know that I'm real bad about wanting to prove that I'm right. And even when I'm wrong, I want to prove I'm right. And that sometimes it's okay to not be right. Sometimes it's okay to let stuff go. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Are you the peacemaker in your home? You think about this. If you're the peacemaker in your home and your spouse is the peacemaker in your home, then what's going to happen? A lot of peace, right? It's going to help there not to be so much conflict. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So if it depends on you, are you trying to live at peace? Are you doing everything in your power to live in peace? I don't know. There was one time at work, this has been years ago. This was years ago at work. And I had this boss. He's been here a few times. He's not my boss anymore, but my best friend at work was driving past my boss, and he had a pallet of air filters. It was probably about as tall as that wood trim there. And my boss walked by and just did that, and it fell over and made a mess. And he told him, "Pick it up." And you guys know how workplaces are and the words that were said. And basically the guy said, "I ain't picking it up." And they start going at it. And it got real serious real quick, to where I thought someone was going to lose their job. And he told him to go in the office with the main boss. And the employee basically told him, "I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to do my job. And that's going to lay there because you're the one that made the mess." And they were going at it. I went over and just started picking up the air filters. Why? Because it got out of hand quick. And it was stupid on both their parts. And I just started picking up the air filters. And my buddy come over when he see me do it. And he's cussing and throwing boxes and start stacking them up too. And I told him, I said, "We just studied at church, blessed are the peacemakers." And he said... And I said, I'm just trying to bring some peace. And he said, "You got a whole heap of blessings coming your way then." But it de-escalated the whole situation real quick. We picked it up, we shrunk wrap it, and that's all the further it went. But it was getting out of hand quick. Y'all think about that in your marriage. How quickly things can get out of hand. How quickly things can explode into something big. That if someone would just stop and be willing to be the peacemaker, take on that responsibility themselves, and not say, "I'm going to prove my point. I'm right." We have to learn to let things go sometimes. And we have to think, is this fight really worth the conflict that it's causing? You know, he folds the towels wrong. When she squeezes out the toothpaste, it hits in the middle of the toothpaste, you know. You think about the things that we fight about, the silly things. I remember when me and Crystal first got married, And I was folding the towels. She said, "You're folding them wrong." I didn't know you could fold towels wrong, but she showed me how I should be folding towels. And I didn't want to fold them that way, but you know what? I fold them that way now, you know? And, you just think, you know, how crazy it is, the toothpaste or the cap. I've heard people talk about, she never puts the cap back on the toothpaste, or her makeup's all over the counter, or he brings in his dirty boots and I just swept the floor, and the things that we get so angry about, and they can escalate so quick. And that's where we need to be grown-ups. And we need to stop and say, if I come in and I got muddy shoes on and Crystal's just swept and I track mud all over, and she says, "You just tracked up my floor," I don't need to say, "Well, I've been out there working hard all day," and no, it's, "I'm sorry." And then I need to grab the broom and sweep up and clean up after myself, okay? There needs to be that moment of what's really worth fighting about. Is the silliness, is the pettiness really worth being right, really worth causing hurt and pain? Do we ever stop and really think that some of the things that we're fighting about, that they're just really not worth it? There's times, and I used to fight with a fence post to prove I was right. And I've realized that it's not worth it. And even at work sometimes, there was a situation last week, there was someone telling a story, and they was telling it all wrong. They were getting the details all wrong. And I started to correct them, and I went, "Who cares? You know, if I tell them they're wrong, then they're going to just jump all over me. Who really cares?" For the things that do matter, though, okay, because sometimes there is things that matter to us, isn't there? It's not just the toothpaste. It's not just the towel. Sometimes there's fights, there's conflicts that really do matter. And for those, I challenge you guys to always be coming from a heart of love. When you're facing those situations, ready and willing to forgive. And when I was writing this down, because this is kind of a series that I go over with people that I'm going to do a wedding for, and I just kind of started doing it at church. But as I was reading over this tonight, because I hadn't read over it real good, I kept adding, and I thought, you know, I really probably should redo this whole series. But as I was reading this, and I thought, being willing to forgive, and most of y'all probably don't know the song, but there's a song from the 90s, a country song, and I think her name was Terry Clark, and the song was, "I Just Want to Be Mad for a While." You guys ever heard that song, "I Just Want to Be Mad"? She says, "I'll never leave, I'll never stray, but I just want to be mad for a little while." And you know what? Sometimes we just want to be mad, don't we? Sometimes we just want to fight. We want to be mad, but y'all, we need to get past that, and we need to get to the point where we're willing to forgive with a heart of love. And these are the last verses, and we're finishing up here. In Colossians 3:12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Think about that. If we are clothing ourselves with that each and every day, if we're clothing ourselves with that, with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience, "bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." That's ready to forgive. Are you ready to forgive? Or do you just want to be mad? Do you just want to fight? Are you ready to forgive? Verse 14, "And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unities." Disagreement and hurts are bound to come. But if we handle them with love and with care, we can fight a fight in the right way. And we can resolve conflict without being hurtful, without calling names, without without saying things that we shouldn't say. But it all begins with if we're coming from a place of love. You guys think that if your spouse loves you, does she not want the best for you? Does he not want the best for you? So if we come from a place where we're really trying to show them that we want the best, it's going to be received a whole lot better. You know, there was been a lot of times that Crystal's told me things, Pete, you said this, and I would jump back at her. And it's still a struggle sometimes. The cell phone, what I was talking about this morning, the cell phone. I ain't on my phone too much. But now, really, I've tried to come to a place of understanding that if she's telling me something, it's not to hurt me, it's to help me. Even though sometimes what she says hurts. Because if you're doing something wrong and you've been doing something wrong, it kind of stings sometimes. It kind of hurts. But when we come at each other out of love, and you shouldn't react like this, and you shouldn't have said that, and you really hurt my feelings, we can resolve so much. But it's coming from a place of love, not I'm going to prove I'm right and you're wrong. I'm going to make my point no matter what, because sometimes the fight just isn't worth it.